Today's daf is Psachim Daf Dalet, and we are 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Gimel Amid Beis, Rav Kahana Chalash. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza and Ovadia Ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is also being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Rav Moshe Chaim. So we're at the very beginning of Masechtas Psachim, where the Gemara was discussing the first word of the Mishnah. Not the first halacha of the Mishnah, which is Bedikas Chametz, which the Gemara is going to get into in today's daf and tomorrow's daf, but simply the first word of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Or larba asar, boitken es hachametz la'or aner. There's a mitzvah called Bedikas Chametz. Bedikas Chametz is a mitzvah derabanan. You're supposed to do it on the 14th day of Nisan, also known as Erev Pesach. Which part of the day? Or larba asar. The Gemara had almost 2 daf discussion. What exactly is that time of day that the Mishnah is referring to as Or? It seemed initially that it was Machloikis Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, but after further review, the Gemara came out that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda both agree the word Or means Laila. Right, the Gemara, if Or means Laila, then simply say Laila. So the Gemara said that the reason the Tana, the Mishnah, didn't want to use the word Laila is because Or, in a very subtle way, is a finer term then the word Laila. Ukid Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Dam Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, La'ilam ha-yoytzi adam dvar meguna mipiv. A person should be careful and he should never be moitzi adavar meguna mipiv. Share ike makos of shmoina oisiyos for la'yoytzi dvar meguna mipiv. And the Gemara from there digressed into different mamorei chazal, different maisa shahoya kachoyos, in terms of how the Gedolim, the Chachamim, were very sensitive to a person's speech. Not only not to speak Lashon Hara, not only not to speak Bekas, not only not to speak Nivol Peh, but to say the word Ar versus saying the word Laila. Such a subtlety, even that's something that's important. But the bottom line is, the reason the Tana of the Mishnah said Ar is because Ar is simply a finer word. So on that note, in the midst of this digression, talking about being sensitive and careful to what comes out of a person's mouth, no matter how subtle it is, we pick up, says the Gemara, Rav Kahana Chalash, Rav Kahana was not well. Shadru Rabbanon Rabbi Shua Berei Deravidi. So the Rabbanon sent Rabbi Shua Berei Deravidi, Amrule, they told him, Zil Baduk Madine, go report back, please. We'd love to know how Rav Kahana is feeling. Also, Rav Yeshua Berei Deravidi came, Ashkeche Denoch Nafshe, and he saw that Rav Kahana had already passed away. Kori Lelevushe. So Rabbi Shua Berei Deravidi raised Kriya, Rav Kahana was Rabin Shel Kol Bnei Agoyla. Vahadre Lekori Lachore. And then he took the torn part of his beged and he flipped it around. Ubachi, and he cried. Va'asi, and he came back to the Rabbanon. Amrule, they told him, Noch Nafshe, meaning they were able to read between the lines from seeing Rabbi Shua Berei Deravidi crying, from seeing the fact that his beged was torn, that clearly Rav Kahana must have passed away. So they asked him, did Rav Kahana die? Amruluhu, he said, I didn't say it, because the pasuk says, Umoitzi Diba, someone that reports bad news, Huxel, he's a fool. But you see from here, again, the sensitivity of speech that Rabbi Shua Berei Deravidi didn't even want to say that Rav Kahana was Nifter. So instead of saying that he passed away, what did he do? He raised Kriya, he flipped the beged the wrong way. Incidentally, why did he do that? Rashi says, because had the torn part of the beged had been in the front of Rabbi Yeshua, Berei Deravidi, then the moment he would have walked in, they would have realized that Rav Kahana passed away, and he didn't want to shock them. There's an idea that if somebody, unfortunately, Lo'aleinu, has to break bad news to somebody, he's supposed to do it slowly. There's precedent here in the Gemara. Well, you see, he didn't want them to see it immediately. He knew they weren't going to take it well, and as a result, he broke it in a slow way. But the point that we're trying to bring out is this idea, Umoitzi Diba Huxil, and it's such a sensitivity that Rabbi Yeshua, Berei Deravidi, didn't even want to tell the Rabbanon that Rav Kahana passed away. More on that note, Yoichanan Chakuka, Nafak Lekiryasa. Yoichanan Chakuka was sent out into the villages to go inspect the crops and to report back and tell the Olam how the Tfuah was doing. Kiyasa, when he came back, Amale, they told him, Chitim Nasu Yafa? He's telling me, the Chit and the wheat, is it Yafa? Amale, so he told him, Sa'irin Nasu Yafa. He said, didn't say anything about the wheat. He said the barley is yafas. Amalei, they told him, Tseu basa lesusa l'chamayrim. Really, the sayrim is doing well? He says, why don't you go tell it to the fed? Go tell it to the horses. D'chsiv ha-sayrim v'atevin lesusa v'l'rachesh. That's who you give sayrim to. Why are you telling us about the sayrim? Says the Gemara, my havalei l'meimar. Meaning, why did he do that? Because he didn't want to say the chitim were not bad. Clearly, that was what happened. But again, moitzi diba huksil. So even though this is not as dramatic as Rav Kahana was nifter, but at the same time, he didn't want to come back and say the chitim weren't bad. So he figured he's going to do it in a clever way. What was his clever way? He didn't say anything about the chitim. You want to know if the chitim are good, if they're growing well, if this is a good crop this year? Not saying anything about the chitin, you should know the sa'irim are good. They were able to figure it out, but they were upset at him. So the Gemara says, what should he have said? So the Gemara, he could have said as follows. Ishtaka nasu chitin yafis. He could have said, last year was a good year, right? How's your year? Last year was wonderful. Inami, or he could have said, adoshim nasu yafis. He could have said, the lentils are doing well. I mean, he could have referred to something which is maichel adam, as opposed to sa'irim, which is maichel behema. It's interesting that the Gemara often looks down at Sa'irim. Sa'irim was Chazal's mashal of Meichel Behema. Throughout Shas, Chitin is Meichel Adam, and Sa'irim is always Meichel Behema. That's why the Yidden, when they left Mitzrayim, what was the first carbon that they always brought on Pesach? On Tezai and Nisan, they would bring the carbon Omer, which was from Sa'irim, simply because the Yidden, when they left Mitzrayim, they were in a very low state as far as Tumah goes. Then they build up until Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah, they bring the Shtei Lechem, which was brought from Chitin. But Tzoirim is always referred to as Meichel Behema. What's interesting is as Tzoir is one of the Shivas Aminim. It's one of the Perish and the Shtapcha Behem Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Chita V'Tzoir. So is Tzoir this inferior Meichel that Yoichan Chakukah tells the Olam that the barley crop had a good year? He says, go tell it to the horses. What are you telling it to us for? Or Sa'ira, one of the perish in the Shtabchem there in Eretz Yisrael. I saw the Ben Yoyada right here on this Gemara asks this question. Ayin Sham. But more on this note. Rav, Barachud Rabchia. Ubar Achse. Rav was Rav Chia's nephew. But he was Rav Chia's nephew from Baida Zatin. Rav's father was Rav Chia's brother. And Rav's mother was Rav Chia's sister. Now, at first glance, you're going to say, does that mean that Rav's parents were brother and sister? Of course not. Rav's father was Rav Chia's brother mitzad ha'av. Rav's mother was Rav Chia's sister mitzad ha'em. Says father and mother both sheared a half-sibling, but they themselves weren't related to each other. This is where Pesachim meets Yevamis. But says the Gemara, Rav was Rav Chia's nephew. So again, Rav Chia's brother is Rav's father, and Rav Chia's mother is, and Rav's mother is Rav Chia's sister. He's all awesome. When Rav went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, right, so Rav grew up in Bavel. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael. He was a Talmud of Rebbe. Rav Chia was also a Talmud of Rebbe. And then Rav went back to Bavel. Very famously, at the end of his life, Mechiasa Rav LeBavel. So says the Gemara, when Rav came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Amalei, he met Rav Chia. So Rav Chia was his uncle. So he told him, Aivu Kayin? Is Aivu Rav's father, my brother, is he alive? Amalei, he said, Ima Kayemes. Why don't you ask me if my mother's alive? Amalei, he says, okay, Ima Kayemes? Is your mother, who is also Rav Chia's sister? Amalei, Aivu Kaim. Why don't you ask me if Aivu's alive? Amalei, Rav Chia Tfashtanin. Daila Chakima Biramiza. He understood exactly what's going on. He understood it meant that Rav's father, Aivu, wasn't alive, and Rav's mother wasn't either alive, which meant that Rav Chia lost his brother and he lost his sister. He never knew. He never said Shiva. He never conducted any laws of Avelis. So he told his Gabbai, Chaloitzli Menali, take my shoes off, and then take my kelim, take my bags, let's go to the Beis HaMerchitz. So the Gemara says, Shmami Notlas. You can see three halachas from this story. Shmami No Ovel Asabin Ilas Asandel. He just found out that he lost his brother and his sister, which meant he was an Ovel. Novel's not allowed to wear shoes. Vishmami No, you see from his Shmur Rechoiko Eino Neheges El Yoy Mechad. Usually, how long is Avelis? It's 7 days. But clearly, Rav Chia wasn't keeping 7 days of Avelis. How do you see that? Because he said, take my shoes off and let's go to the Beis HaMerchitz. An Ovel's not allowed to go to the Beis HaMerchitz. So going to the Beis HaMerchitz implied that, yeah, right now, shoes off, Avelis. However, it's not going to last long. We're going to the Beis HaMerchitz. So 1 day of being in a Beis HaMerchitz, of Avelis. How could you only be in Avelis 1 day? The Teretz is, it was a Shmua Rechaika. Shmua Rechaika means a person finds out that one of his relatives passed away a long time ago. So if there's a Shmua Rechaika, you don't have Shiva, you don't have the regular halachas of Avelos. Shmua Rechaika, it's 1 day of Avelos. You see that from this story. Shmamino, and you see even a bigger chiddush. Mitzas Hayom Kikuloi. That even that 1 day doesn't have to be a full day. So just like the 7th day of Shiva is Mitzas Hayom Kikuloi. That's why when a family said Shiva, they wake up, they stand up first thing in the morning, because that last day only has to be a Mitzas Hayom. You would think maybe maybe a shmur rechayka that's only keeping one day of avelos, at the very least it should have to be one full day of avelos. That's the chiddush, that even the one day, a mixas hayoyim was going to be enough. But again, why are we bringing this story? Because you see that Rav didn't want to tell Rav Chiya that his father passed away. He didn't want to tell Rav Chiya that his mother passed away, because the pasuk says, umoytzi diba huksil. Again, it's a sensitivity to speech. I mean, this is Rav, who of course is the Rebbe when it comes to being very sensitive and very careful to speech. We always speak out the Rambam, Amra Rav Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh Shalai Sach Sicha Betela Kol Yomav, the Rambam says. And there's so many Gemaras, Hafachba Vafachba the Kulaba. You take this Yisoid and you learn Gemaras with it, you'll understand so many different Mamorim that are associated to Rav, stories related to Rav, where Rav was extremely sensitive to what came out of his mouth. We've spoken out great bites about this over the years, many, many, many times. It's an incredible yisoid that you can work with and you can run with. But again, this is just another example where Rav was so careful with his speech, he didn't want to say anything about his father, Ivo. You know, it's interesting, we know a lot about Shmuel's father. Who is Shmuel's father? Avuah de Shmuel. But really, Avuah de Shmuel was one of the great Amoraim of all time. So much so that it's not even so clear why he was known as Avuah de Shmuel. He had Egen Yichus. I mean, it's true. His son Shmuel was the Gadol Adar, but he was a Gadol Adar in his own right. Rav's father, we don't know nearly as much about, but we have two fun facts, so to speak, as far as Rav's father goes in today's daf. Number one, his name was Ivu, and number two, he was Reb Chiya's brother. More on this note. Ahuda Amar Dunu Dini. There was a person that whenever you had a conversation with this person, you got into a fight, you had an argument, you waged a bet. He said, let's settle this in court. He always wanted to run to court. Amri said, the chevre said, shmami nami donkas. It must be this person comes from Shevet Don. Dechsev Don Yodun Amoy. Ka'achad Shiftei Yisrael. Why is he always running to Din Taira? Must be, it comes from Shevet Don. Now, who would have a ka'az of Amra Akef Yamo Asisni Birasa? There was a person that used to say that one day when he makes it big, when he has a lot of money, he's going to build a beautiful house, but it's going to be ocean front. This is what he used to say. So the Gemara says, Batku. They did some due diligence for Ashkechu, and they found out the Mizvulun Kasi, that he came from Shevet Zvulun. The Chsiv Zvulun, Lechayf Yamim, Yishkain Zvulun, was an ocean front. And as a result, this person who used to always talk about, he had this obsession about one day owning an ocean front house. So clearly, he must have came from Shevet Zvulun. So why the Gemara tells these stories? I mean, the Pashup Shad is because, again, we're talking about speech and how it's indicative of a person's kishkes and neshamas, and it's not just some frivolous thing that a person does. That's clear. I mean, these stories themselves seem to be a little bit superficial. Tzadik HaKoyin talks about it in Tzidkas HaTzadik, in an art. But either way, this is how the Gemara concludes this discussion. So we return to the regular program, which is Masechtas Pesachim, which is dealing with the halachis of Bedikas Chametz. Zok de Gemar. V'hashta the kaimu under lukuli amar urtahu. Now that we established, after two blot and change, that the word or means laila. Or larba also boitkin as hachametz. When do you do Bedikas Chametz? You do it leil yudalid. Freit, the Gemar mechti. I don't understand. Bein the Rabbi, the Bein the Ram, Meir Chametz, Eni Asa, El Mashay, Shoy, Sula, Maila. The earliest shiur that a person is not allowed to eat chametz is from the sixth hour of the day and on. You're allowed to eat chametz the night before Pesach, right? Everybody does. Even that morning, you could have breakfast. So there's a time, Erev Pesach, although it's Erev Pesach, you can't eat chametz anymore. What's that time? Mishay Shoy Sulamayla, that's going to be the topic of tomorrow's daf. But one thing is clear, even though we'll see in tomorrow's daf, it's a machlokes in Ramei, Rabbi Yehuda, but everybody agrees that chametz is only yasser from the sixth hour in the day. So if that's the case, why have to do bedikas chametz the night before? Just do bedikas chametz in the morning. V'nivdoik mishes from the sixth hour already. How long does it take to do bedikas chametz? So do it in the morning. Why do you have to do bedikas chametz the night before? Meaning, bishloima, if chametz would be yasser first thing in the morning, by alois hashachar, okay, you understand, you have to do bedikas the night before. But being that you have a good few hours in the day to still eat chametz, so you should be able to do the bedikah during those few hours as well. Why do you have to do bedikah the night before? So, you'll tell me, zrizah makdim el mitzvahs. What about zrizos? But the Gemara says, nivdek mitzafra. For that, the morning should be fine. You don't find anywhere zrizah makdim el mitzvahs, and as a result, you have to be a zariz ready to do it the night before. What does this mean? So bris mila has to be on the eighth day. That's when mila bezmane is. And you can do it any time during the eighth day. Elo, what's the makar? The pasuk says, "Vayashke Avram Baboiker." It says Avram got up really early in the morning, And this pasuk is by the Akedah. Vayachvish es chamoiroi, and he prepared his donkey. This is the chamar of Oni v'roichav al chamar. Vayikach es shneinu orav itoi. He took Yishmael, he took Eliezer, v'yitzchok benoi, v'yivakei atzeilu. But when did he start preparing for the Akedah? He started preparing first thing in the morning. Why didn't he prepare the night before? Oh, you see, from here, Zrizim Akdim al mitzvahs doesn't obligate you to start getting busy with it the night before. You could do it already first thing in the morning. So freik the gemara, why do you do b'dikah at night? That's something that we clearly established. Well, if chametz is only awesome, so you're allowed to eat chametz in the morning. If you can eat chametz in the morning, you can have chametz in your reshus in the morning. So you should be able to do b'dikas chametz in the morning as well. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, the reason we do b'dikah at night is for practical reasons. We want to do it at a time that people are home. And not just that, meaning not only are people home at night as opposed to in the morning, but also, if you use a candle, the candle is going to shine brighter at night than it will during the day. And as a result, we want to use an Ohrad Ner because it's Yofel Lebedika. The Ohrad Ner works better at night than it does in the morning. People are more home at night than they are in the morning. As a result, for practical reasons, we do b'dikah at night. So the reason b'dikah is night is not because it's a Zman Geroma. That's like the time you have to do b'dikah. It's just good, a practical idea to do it at night. Amar Abayas, Abayas at Hilkach. It's for that reason. Hayt Surba Mirabanan, a Talmud Chacham, a young budding rabbi. Loi liftach beidnei beurta the place in Agar Beis. He shouldn't start learning late in the day of Yud Gimel Nisan as it goes into the eve of Yudala Nisan. The reason is Dilma Moshchale Shmaite, because the Tzurim Rabbana sits down to learn, he can get completely lost in his learning. And there's a very good chance that he's going to end up not doing the mitzvah that he's supposed to do. So Abaye said a Tzurim Rabbana should be very careful, and he should make sure that late Thursday, at late Yud Gimel, he ready should not learn. We're going through this a little quickly, but we're going to speak out some important havon in the Gemara, some important raid at the end of the day. Rav Nachman Yitzchak asked Rav Nachman Yitzchak the following question. If somebody rents his house to his friend on the 14th day of Nisan, Ami Livdike, who's supposed to do the bedikah? Ala Masker Livdike? Should the Masker, the landlord, is he the one that's supposed to do the bedikah? Why would you think he should do the bedikah? The Chamira Didehu. The assumption is that the chametz in the house belongs to him. All the food in the pantry belongs to the landlord. Or maybe the seicha is supposed to do it. At the end of the day, he owns the property right now. So if you have a landlord-tenant situation, it's your Yudala Nisan. Reuven owns the house. Shimon is renting the house. Who's supposed to do bedikas chametz? Does Reuven, the landlord, do the bedikah, or does Shimon, the tenant, do the bedikah? Now we're discussing where the chametz itself belonged to the landlord. Right? It sounds like if the chametz belongs to the tenant, then we're not having this conversation. Then it's obvious the tenant. It's in his Rishos, he owns the chametz. But where the chametz belongs to the masker, the chamira didehu, it's his chametz. Who's the one that's supposed to do the bedikah? If someone rents a house to his friend, the soicher is the one that's obligated to put up the mezuzah. So what's the toshma? If the soicher is the one that puts up the mezuzah, so wouldn't it make sense? It would reason to say that the soicher should be the one that should have to do the bedikah. The Gemara says, no, Hasam ha'amra mesharshio. Rameshashi already explained, mezuzah is chayver adari. Mezuzah is different. Mezuzah for sure is incumbent upon the person that's living there, even if he is only the soicher to put up. Why is that? So the Gemara doesn't explain, but Rashi explains. Because why do you have mezuzahs in your house? The idea of a mezuzah is lefishahi mashmartai. It's a shmira. Who needs the shmira? The person that's living in the house. The landlord doesn't need the shmira. The tenant needs the shmira. So being that the time of the krah, the reason we put up a mezuzah is for it to be a shmira. So it's obvious for that reason that the soicher, the tenant, is the one that has the obligation to put up the mezuzah. But bedikas chametz has nothing to do with shmira. Bedikas chametz is a mitzvah. So the question, who has the mitzvah? Does the masker have the mitzvah because at the end of the day it's his chametz, or does the soicher have the mitzvah because at the end of the day it's in his reshus? He right now is the tenant. So this is the question that was posed to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So he told him as follows. He said, "Tonino, it's a mefurish abraisa." Meaning, we don't have to declare it's a braisa. What's the braisa? Maska baisa chaveroi. If somebody rents his house to his friend, imachalei masalei mafteichu ischalar ba'asar. If the yodalid happened before the landlord gave the tenant the keys to the house. In other words, the lease went into effect sometime on the 14th day of Nisan. But at the beginning of your Dalet Nisan, at that point, it still belonged to the Maskit. And Allah Maskit Liftei. The Maskit is going to have the obligation. Why? Because when is the Chiyuv Bedika? In the beginning of your Dalet. Who owned it at the beginning of your Dalet? The Maskir did. The lease first went into effect at some point during your Dalet. But being that Betchilas your Dalet, it was the Maskir's, so for sure the Maskir is going to be the one that's obligated to do the B'dik. If, however, your Dalet happened before, after the Maftechas were given over, meaning the lease went into effect on the 13th, so B'knisas your Dalet already belonged to the Soichah. The Soichah lived like, the Soichah would be the one that has the obligation to do the B'dikah. So what's the bottom line? Who's obligated to do the B'dikah? The Soichah is. The only time the Masker is if the lease goes into effect on your Dalet. If, however, the lease goes into effect before your Dalet, then the obligation is going to be the obligation of the Soichah. Boyimineimir Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. More on this theme. They asked Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, another question. If somebody rents his house to his friend, Barbaas, on the 14th day of Nisan, so we just said that if somebody rents a house to his friend, if the lease goes into effect, meaning he picks up the keys on your Dalet Nisan, so whose obligation is it to do the Bedika? It's the Masker's obligation to do the Bedika. Here's the question. Somebody goes, he picks up the keys, Erev Pesach, in the morning. Does he have the right to assume that the masker actually did bedikas chametz, or does he not have the right to assume that he did bedikas chametz? So the Gemara says, "L'may nafkamina, why do we care? L'shaile, just ask him, did you do the bedika, or did you not do the bedika?" He's going to be believed to say if he did or didn't. Eidechad nemam b'yisurin, right? You don't need two edim to testify that I did bedikas chametz. Just like you need to have somebody's kitchen, you trust the person because Eidechad nemam b'yisurin. So of course, the person would be believed to say that he did bedikas chametz. Afraid the Gemara, just ask him. So the Gemara says, no. The lesser lie, the lesser you lay. Let's just say he's not around. You can't reach him. La truche la haimai. So the question is, do I have to be matriach now to do bedikas chametz or not? Because bedikas chametz is a tercha. And being that it's a tercha, that's the question. Could I assume that the person did bedika, or do I not have a right to assume that the person did bedika? Amadu Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, tini suah. This is also a braisa. Now this braisa is a little less mefurish. What's the braisa? I call them on about beer chametz. Everybody's believed to say that the chametz was burnt or that the chametz was disposed of. Here's the chiddush, afilu noshim, afilu avodim, afilu kitanim. Now, what's the chiddush of noshim, avodim, and kitanim? They're ordinarily psule edos. They're not usually believed to say edos. But when it comes to beer chametz, that there's no chametz in this house, when it comes to this, they're believed. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, my time in Mahemni. Why would they be believed? If ordinarily they're not believed, why here do we believe them? Lam yisham dechaskal sebadek. Presumably, the reason we believe them is because we have a chazaka that a person will do bedikas chametz anyways. So being that a person has a chazaka that he's going to do bedikas chametz, so we sort of get the sense that the bedika was done. So being that the Eidos of the Isha, the Eved, and the Katan is being supported by the Chazaka, it's for that reason we believe the Eved, the Isha, and the Katan. But what do you see from here? There's a concept of Cheskas Eibadik. So if somebody rents his house to somebody else, Yodal and Islam, so the obligation was the obligation of the Masker. Okay, the Masker had to do what he had to do. The question is, I'm the Soicher. Could I assume the Masker did the Bedika or not? You see from here, Cheskas Eibadik. Now, what's the Makar to this idea of Cheskas Eibadik? So the Gemara explains the Kasavra, Kol Chaverim, Heim Eitzel Bedikas Chametz. The Svar would be that no one's Chasha that they're going to violate Bedikas Chametz. Everyone's considered a chaver. Now, the word chaver is a borrowed term. It's borrowed from the laws of Trumas and Meisters. So we know not everybody was careful when it came to Trumas and Meisters, right? Some people were, but other people weren't. Trumas and Meisters was an area that historically a lot of Jews, for whatever reason, they didn't want to pay their taxes. This was not something that they were very into. The Yidden that kept Trumas and Meisters, they observed the laws, they were known as chaverim. Chaver. The Yidden that did not give Trumas or Maestras, they were known as Am Ha'aretz. So when you see the word Am Ha'aretz in the context of Trumas or Maestras, it's not an indication of how many black Gemara he learned. It's a person that's not careful in giving Trumas or Maestras. And when you see a Chaver, you know, it doesn't mean some Chacham. What it means is a person that's careful when it comes to giving Trumas or Maestras. But either way, in the world of Trumas or Maestras, we learned the Braisa, Chaver Shemes, if a Chaver, that's someone that's careful in giving Trumas or Maestras, died, Vinich, Magur Malaya Peres. And then they went through his possessions after he died, and they saw that he had a magura was filled with peiros. Afilu heim bnei yoyman. Even if these peiros just became ripe, or they were just put into the state in which they're obligated in Trumas or Maizos. Harei heim becheskes mesukana. We assume for sure that a chaver is so careful in Trumas or Maizos that he does what he has to do. And not only does he do it, he does it right away. It's reason makdim la mitzvahs, like we saw in Amaral. This is something that he does right away, so we could assume for sure that if a chaver dies and he leaves over payers, someone gave Trumas or Maizos. If that's the case, that would explain why there's a chazaka that a person would do B'dikas Chametz. Because HaKoil Chaveir Meitzel B'dikas Chametz. That's the punchline of this Gemara. Everyone's a chaver when it comes to B'dikas Chametz. You don't have a chaver and Am Aretz who's not Nizer in B'dikas Chametz. Every Jew that's Upkehitin knows that he has to do a mitzvah B'dikas Chametz. This wasn't an area like Trumas or Maizos where people were trying to avoid, you know, paying their obligation. This is something that everybody did. And you see that a chaver has a chazaka. Where do you see it? Chaver shemes. We assume that the becheskas mesukanim. So when it comes to B'dikas Chametz, we'll assume the house is becheskas mesukanim as well. So again, they asked Rav Nachman Yitzchok a question. If somebody rents a property, he rents it on Erev Pesach, sometime in the morning, let's say. The beginning of your dalet, it was in the possession still of the masker. The masker, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak had a price of this. That was the first question they asked him. Is the one that's obligated in B'dikas Chametz. The question is, now the soicha, can I assume that the masker actually did the B'dika? Or do I not have a right to assume that he did the B'dika? See, he said, I have a right from a b'raisa, because the b'raisa says, we believe in Isha, believe in Eved, believe in Katam when it comes to B'dikas Chametz. What's the reason? Probably because it's B'cheskes Mesukonim. And what would be the svara to say B'cheskes Mesukonim? Because Hakol Chaveir Meitzel B'dikas Chametz. And you see that a chaver is always B'cheskes, that he does what he has to do and he does it right away. But the Gemara says like this, how do you know from the fact that the Eved and the Katana believe that that's a raya, that there's a chazaka that a person will do bedika? Maybe there really is no chazaka that a person will do bedika. The reason the Evan and the Isha and the Katana believe, because we believe them. At the end of the day, they said so, so we believe them. But the Gemara says that can't be, because hani otu amiru dahani midi mishashi ispei. These are not people that are usually believed. So being that they're not usually believed, so it can't be that the reason that we're believing them, quote unquote, is because of what they said. It must be because they're supported by a chazaka. But the Gemara asks another question. Elamai the chazaka say badok. So you tell me, okay, it's not because of what they said, it's because of the chazaka. Then hayakol nemonim kol habatim chazkas bedukim bar basmi boyle. Then the price says halacha is not really being worded properly, because when the Eved, the Ish, and the Katan say that yeah, everything was taken care of, are we relying on the testimony of the Eved, the Ish, and the Katan? You're saying, no, really you're relying on a chazaka. So it has nothing to do with what the Eved, the Ish, and the Katan said. Really, it's based on the chazaka. So why did the Braisa not say that HaKoil Kol HaBatim Becheskes Bedukim Bar Ba'asar? Instead, what did it say? HaKol Namonim. Gemara says, if not, I would say, and I think if anything, not if not, if anything, there should be a raya fakert. Elamai mishum amir dahanu. Haloyamri hani. So if that's the case, tivshik minot de'inchas b'kosei b'adim. This is a very long-winded way of asking the following question. You're bringing me a raya from the fact that you believe the Eved, Isha, and the Katan must be it's Becheskes Bada. Because if it's not Becheskes Bada, why do you believe him? Mara says, I understand. But if you're telling me that really they're not believed, and the only reason that we're accepting their testimony is because it's Becheskes Baduk, then the Braisa should have said that. Don't say we trust the Evidish and the Katan. Say it's Becheskes Baduk. If anything, the Gemara says, I think you should be punished in the reverse. From the fact that the Braisa did not say that when the Evidish and the Katan talked, no worries, because Batama Becheskes Baduk. Instead, it said they're Nemanim. It sounds like really houses are not Becheskes Baduk. Because if it's Becheskes Baduk, you don't need the Eidos. You don't have to come on to the Nemanis Evidish and the Katan. So if anything, if you want to bring a ride from this Braisa of Nachum Yisrael, don't bring a ride from this brisa that batama becheskes badik. I think you bring a ride from the brisa that batama not becheskes badik. Gemara says loy lemei lechachas kasei badik. Really, it's becheskes badik. Vachem mayaskin in the muchzik on the loy badik. This brisa was talking about a specific case where there was a chazaka. The situation seemed to suggest that this person really didn't do the bedika. Vakamri hani but kine. However, they came and they said there was a bedika. So it would be a situation where you would think for sure the person didn't do the bedika. He wasn't home. We know that this person is, he's renting his house, he's going out of town for Yontif, he pulled out of his driveway, Yud Gimel Nisan, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Doesn't look like he did Bedika. When did you do Bedika? Erlar Ba'asar. So he wasn't home Erlar Ba'asar. So it doesn't look like there was a Bedika done. But an Evan, an Isha, and a Katan said, and I want you to know what Bedika was done. Now the Tema, I would have thought, Loilim Nu Rabbanon, you shouldn't trust the Rabbanon, Kamash Malon, that you are going to trust the Evan, the Isha, and the Katan. So the bottom line is, they asked from Nachum Yitzchak a question, we're not finished with the Gemara, but they asked from Nachum Yitzchak a question. Do we have a chazaka that a person does bedikah right away or not? Where is this going to play itself out? If a person rents a house on Yud Dalet, the masker had the house at the beginning of Yud Dalet. It was his obligation to do the bedikah. You rented it sometime during the day. Do I have to do a bedikah? Because I have to be concerned that maybe he didn't do it. Or do no, I don't have to be concerned. I could assume that he probably did do the bedikah. And as a result, I'm not obligated to do it. So Nachum Yitzchak said, I have a raya from a braisa. Because I have a braisa that says that an eved, isha, and a katan are believed when it comes to bedikas chametz. And it's a little bit of an interesting halacha because we never believe in Eved, Isha, and a Katan. So why suddenly over here would we believe in Eved, Isha, and a Katan? Incidentally, Tosfos asks a very important kasha. We're not going to get into it today. It's the third Tosfos on Daftal and Amid Beis. Dibra Maskel Hemnu Rabbanim Bedu Rabbanim. I understand. We don't believe in Eved, Isha, and a Katan. It's true. They're not Neman to say Eidos, but Eidecha Neman Beisurim. If you walk into someone's house, you walk into your own house and your wife serves you dinner, you don't have to start questioning whether or not the food is kosher. Right? Another example is a woman that goes to the mikveh, she's believed to say she's tameya, she's tahira. You don't need Aden to determine her status as being a nida. The reason is because Eidecha doesn't have a bisur. So how come Bedikas Chametz would be any different? Why don't you say Eidecha doesn't have a bisur? But the bottom line is Rav Nachman Yitzchak had a problem with the fact that we trust the Eved Isha and the Katan when it comes to Bedikas Chametz. And he said, must be because there's some chazaka that's supporting. I mean that there's some chazaka that's supporting. That's why they believe. I, man of shach, there's a chazaka. Why do you have to come on to their testimony? Okay, so he worked it out. He came up with an akimta. It's talking about where, in this particular case, it looks like really the chazak is going in the reverse because we know the person left on Yud Gimel, so when exactly did he do the bedikah? So Kamash Malanda, we're going to believe them. But what's the bottom line? The bottom line is that there's a chazakah that a person does bedikah. That's number one. Number two is in the event that this chazakah is questionable, because if anything, it looks like this particular person that we're trying to figure out, did he do bedikah or not, probably didn't do bedikah because he wasn't home. So if that's the case, it looks a little bit like maybe the bedikah didn't happen. We would believe the Eved and the Isha and the Katan. So here's the question. Why do we believe the Eved, Isha, and the Katan? And these next two lines are two of the most important lines in the first part of Masechtas Pesachim. Zok to Gemara. Because Kivan, the bedikah's chametz b'drabbanan. You want to know why we believe the Eved, Isha, and the Katan? I'm going to tell you why. Because bedikah's chametz is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Why is Bedikas Chametz a mitzvah d'rabbanan? The midday raisa bebito ba'al masagile. Because midday raisa, you don't have to do Bedikas Chametz. All you need to do is bittul chametz. But so it comes out that this whole obligation is an obligation to Rabbanon. Oh, it's an obligation to Rabbanon. Hemnu Rabbanon bidu Rabbanon. Bedikas chametz adin to Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon went ahead and they trusted, they relied on the nemanus of an Eved and an Isha and a Katan for their din. The Rabbanon. So the Eved Isha Katan, I believe, when it comes to Bedikas Chametz. Why? Because Bedikas Chametz is a Rabbanon. Why is it a Rabbanon? The Midday Raisa Bebito Ba'al Masagali. So we're going to get back to this in 1 second. Just one more Gemara. Iba Yulahu. Another question regarding a landlord-tenant relationship as it relates to Bedikas Chametz. So landlord-tenant situations come up in many areas in Halacha. Choshen Mishpat, you have a lot of it. You have it with regards to Mezuzah. We saw that on Amud Aleph. Right, comes up in different places. One of the places is Pesachim Daf Dalet in the context of Bal Yira, Bal Yomatzeh. Hopefully, if we have some time in the coming days, we'll get into some Halacha L'maisa as it relates to Bedikas Chametz in general and Masker Soicher in particular. I mean, these are very relevant halachas, so it's kedai to maybe talk about it a little bit. But another question related to a Masker and a Soicher. Masker by Zechaderoi, Becheskes Badek. If somebody rents a house to his friend, it was Becheskes Badek, Umatsushenim Badek. So a person goes to out of town, he's spending Pesach, he rents an apartment, he was told that it was clean for Pesach. He walks in and he opens up the pantry and he sees a sandwich, right? He sees this dude, Mamish real Chametz there. So obviously, this is not what he paid for. So here's the question. Me having Kamekach Tois, I'd lie. Can the person say Mekach Tois? Could you call the guy? I'm sorry, this is not the apartment that I rented. I left the keys at the front door. I'm canceling my deposit. I'm calling American Express. Done. Is that something you have a right to do? Do you have a kind and Chosha Mishpat that this was a Mekach Tois or not? I mean, the house was the house you paid for. Swimming pool's there. The question is, you thought that there was a Bedikas Chametz done, and there was no Bedikas Chametz done. That's the Shaila Toshma. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, let me buy Basud Liyavi Agru Badchi. Let me buy. Abaya said, it's Pasha to me. I wouldn't even have such a Shaila in a place where people do Bedikas Chametz themselves. Apparently, there were different menhagim. There were menhagim where people did bedikas chametz themselves, and then there were menhagim where people paid other people to do bedikas chametz for them. You could do bedikas chametz al yedei shliach, which is also an interesting topic in raid and in halacha. But you don't have to do bedikas chametz yourself. You could do it al yedei shliach. So Abaya said like this. In a place where the minig is that people do their own bedika, then for sure you can't tie in a mekach tois. Why? Because if you A person should not have a problem with the fact that you have to do a mitzvah. Mekach tois, why? But Abaye said, I'll tell you, even a bigger chiddush, even in a place where people don't do bedikas chametz themselves, where people hire other people. Now, if you're going to hire someone, you're going to have to pay for it. Even over there, you can't tie in a mekach tois because there's a svara, an umdina, that people like doing mitzvahs with their money. And as a result, it's true, you rented the house, becheskes baduk, but at the same time, the fact that you now have to do a bedikas chametz, that's not the end of the world. And as a result, nichale le'inish le'kiyumi mitzvah begufe, nichale le'inish le'kiyumi mitzvah b'mamayne, and as a result, you would not have the taina of mekach tois. So the Gemara, a few lines ago, uttered the epic and important statement in Masechtas Pesachim. The Gemara is discussing bedikas chametz, particularly that an eved and isha and a katan have nemanus when it comes to bedikas chametz. And the Gemara has a problem with that. It says the Gemara, I'll tell you why eved, isha, and a katan are believed. Because kiven the bedikas chametz with the rabbanon, who being that the obligation to the bedikas chametz is at the rabbanon. Why is it at the rabbanon? Because the midday raisa, be bittel ba'al masagile. Really, all you should have to do is bittel. Hemnu rabbanon mid rabbanon. The rabbanon trusted an eved, isha, and katan with their own little halacha, which is only a din derabban. So we've been learning Masechtas Pesachim now for 3 days, and really Masechtas Pesachim begins with a halacha related to bedikas chametz. Or lar ba asar poitkin es hachametz la or haner, and we didn't even start discussing why exactly a yid has an obligation to do bedikas chametz. The Gemara here talks already about bittul chametz. So really, in order to properly understand the context of the daffin that we are going to be learning now for the first few weeks of Masechtas Pesachim, and certainly in order to understand these three lines of Gemara that we just learned, we have to take a step back. So everyone knows that on Pesach, a yid is not allowed to eat chametz. On Pesach, a yid is not allowed to have chametz in his rishos. These are two independent isurim. A person is not allowed to eat chametz. If someone eats chametz on Pesach, he's chayiv karas. In fact, it's one of the most chamer averas a person could do. It's like eating on Yom Kippur. If you eat chametz on Pesach, it's like not having bris milah. He's chayiv karas. If a person is also not allowed to have chametz in his rishos. If someone has chametz in his rishos, he's not chayiv karas. But at the same time, it's something that's very chomer. As it relates to the iser of having chametz in your rishos, the pasuk says in Parashas Boy, Shivas yomim matzois toichelo. For 7 days, Pesach, a yid's only allowed to eat matzahs. Ach, b'yom harishon, tashpisu sar mibateichem. B'yom harishon, which we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, means Erev Pesach. A yid has a mitzvah, he has an obligation to get rid of all the chametz that he has in his rishos. Ki kol oichel chametz. Why? Because if somebody eats chametz, but the pasuk says very clearly, meaning not only is it aser for a person to eat chametz on Pesach, but tashpisu sar mibateichem. A person has an obligation to get rid of all the chametz in his rishos. Several psukim later, pasuk yotes, shivas yomim sa'or lo yimotze bevateichem. For 7 days, chametz cannot be found in your rishos. Ki koloichel machmetzes v'nichreso hanefesh ahim me'adas yisrael bageru ve'ezrach. Meaning, not only did the Torah say, Bayoy Marishan Tashpisu Samar Batechim, there's a mitzvah saseh to get rid of all the chametz in your house. Bayoy Marishan, which means Erev Pesach, but there's also a loy saseh. Shivas yomim sar lo yimotze bevateichem. But there's another pasuk, and this is at the end of Parshas Boy. Perikud Gimel Pasuk Zayin. Matzis Ye Ochel, Eis Shivas Ayomim, V'lo Yeroi Lecha Chometz, V'lo Yeroi Lecha Sar B'chol Gevulcha. For 7 days, Lo Yeroi Lecha Chometz. Chometz shall not be seen. Sar shall not be seen in your rishos. The Torah said, not once, not twice, 3 times in Parshas Boy, that a person cannot have chametz in his rishos. First, the Torah said it as an asay, ach b'yem harishon tashpisu sar mibateichen, and then twice the Torah said it as a lois asay. The Torah said shivas yomim sar lo yimotze bivateichen, and then the Torah said matzis yeyochel es shivas ayomim v'lo yeyroa lecha chametz b'chol gavulcha. What we know as the lav of bal yeyroa and the lav of bal yimotze. Oh, really, it's first bal yimotze, and then it's bal yira. So there's a mitzvah's essay of tashbisu, and then there's the lois essay of bal yira u bal yimotze. The point is, a person not allowed to have chametz in his house. Because of this obligation, this essay, and the two lois essays of not being allowed to have chametz in your rishos, so before Pesach, we do a lot of things. Number one, we do bedikas chametz. We go, we search la'ir aner biyudalit. I mean, people start preparing for Pesach a lot earlier than Arlar ba'aser. But Arlar ba'aser is a mitzvah where you have to do bedikas chametz. You start searching and trying to find all the chametz in your house. Why are you searching for it? You obviously want to get rid of it. What do you do after bedikas chametz? Kol chamira v'chamia. Right, any chametz that's in my rishos, the chamise or the loy chamise, the chazise or the loy chazise, lebatel should be batel for lehev a hefker ka'afra da'ara. You make this ritualistic proclamation that any chametz. So if there's a pizza in my house somewhere, it should be batel and it should be hefker ka'afra da'ara. Why are we doing that? You know, I have chametz in your house. You have to go and be mevatel it. You have to say that it should be hefker ka'afra da'ara. Another thing we do is we sell our chametz. Right, you go to the Rav, you pick up the yarmulke, kinyan sodah, chalipim, a few shekels, and you sell your chametz. Why are you selling your chametz? Because you now have chametz in your rishos. You have the lois that say, bal yirah, bal yamatzi. And then, to top it all off, you take the chametz, you make a big bonfire, and you burn it. Why are you burning your chametz? Because you now have chametz in your house. You have the mitzvah esim tashbisu, and you have the lav of bal yirah, bal yamatzi. Sounds like a lot of work, right? So we do bedikas chametz, then we do bittul chametz, then we sell the chametz, and then to make sure that no one's even going near this chametz, we even burn this chametz. So obviously, we have to understand why we do all this. I mean, at the end of the day, it sounds like you just have to make sure you have chametz. So do the bedikas chametz and get rid of it. If there's something called bittul chametz, whatever that is, be mevatel your chametz. If you could sell your chametz, then was machst as a meshigah. Just sell your chametz. And why are you burning it? You just have to destroy it. It's not allowed to be anywhere in the world. So hopefully in the next few dafin, this will all make a little bit more sense. And we'll be able to understand just simply the pashup shot of what it is that every single yid does before Pesach. But for now, for today's Raid Bite, to start the discussion of what exactly bittul chametz is and what exactly bedikas chametz is, and why is it that we do both. So the Gemara said that bedikas chametz is a derabbanon. Why is bedikas chametz a derabbanon? The midah iraisa bebittul ba'al masai, because midah iraisa, really all you have to do is bittul chametz. However, it's the Rabbanan that went ahead and said that in addition to bedikas chametz, we also want you, in addition to bittul chametz, we also want you to do bedikas chametz. But really, once you do bittul chametz, the obligation to do bedika is only a derabbanan. So let's talk about a little bit about bittul first, a little bit about bedika second. So what's this idea of bittul chametz? You're mevatel your chametz. Kol chamir v'chamir. What exactly does it mean bittul chametz? Zok de Rashi, right here, today's daf. Daf dalet amid beis, dibra maskel bebittul ba'alma. Tichsiv, because it says in the Torah, tashbisu. It says, ach b'yem arishayin, tashbisu sar mebatechem. V'loi ksiv tevaru. It doesn't say burn the chametz. What it says is, tashbisu. V'hashbasa delev hi hashbasa. And if a person does hashbasa, he gets rid of the chametz inside his lev, inside his heart, that in and of itself is going to be considered hashbasa. In other words, Rashi says that the makar to this idea of bittul, the makar to saying kol chamira v'chamia levatov lehev a hefket ka'afra da'ara, the source of that is the pasuk in the Torah. Torah says that's what you're supposed to do. It says ach b'yei marishoy tashbisu sar mebatechem. What does tashbisu mean? So loosely translated, it means you're supposed to get rid of it. But the truth is, says Rashi, what it means is you don't have to physically get rid of it. As long as you mevatel it in your life, as long as you say that I don't want it to have any significance, I don't want it to have chashivas, that in and of itself is going to be enough. Why? Because hashbasa the leif, he hashbasa. If you take a look at the Targum Unkelus on this pasuk, shivas yoimin pater teichun bram. So the next words in the Torah are tashpisu sar mibatechem. Zokt unkelis tevatlun chamira mibatechem. The word is bittul. Says Rashi, hashbasa means bittul. That's what it means. And the reason we do bittul is because that's what the Torah mandated that we should do. And somehow, by us doing bittul, that's going to accomplish what we need to accomplish. So if a yid has chametz in his rishos on Pesach, here's the punchline. But he was mashpis the chametz. He did hashpasabli. He didn't do anything physical to it. But beliboy, he got rid of it. What does it mean beliboy got rid of it? He said that I don't want it to have any chashivos. In my mind, it's ka'afra da'ara. What do you mean it's ka'afra da'ara? You have an expensive bottle of scotch sitting in your break front. That's not ka'afra da'ara. Doesn't matter. But you said it should be ka'afra da'ara. So your bittul works. It's not chametz. It's afra da'ara. That's what it is. And how do you know that works? So, Rashi, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Torah says that's what you should do. Ach And Rashi says, what does hashpasa mean? Hashpasa means belief. Now, the truth is that there's a Mishnah later in Masechtas Pesachim, Machlokes Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanon, exactly how you make the mitzvah of tashbitz. Rav Yehuda says you have to burn the chametz in a fire, which is what we do. The Chachamim say hashpasasai b'chol davar. And the obvious question is, if hashpasa just has to be believed, so why do you have to burn it in a fire? Why do you have to do hashpasasai b'chol davar? The Pnei Yeshua asked the kasha right here in Pesachim Daf Dalam and Beis. The Tzlach, the Neid Yehuda asked the kasha in Pesachim Daf Chav Zayin and Beis. Ayin Shom, if you can't wait a little bit, but Bezos Hashem, we'll get to that. But for right now, Rashi says, you want to know the Makar Tabitl, it says in the Torah, Ach B'yam Rishon Tashbisu, the Targum Unkala says, Tevatlon, Hashpas, believe Havi Hashpas. But Tosfos argues, Tosfos has two kashas on Rashi, Ayin Sham, and Tosfos right here, Dibra Maskel, Midday Raisa, the Bitl of Al Masagi has a different shot. Says Tosfos, you want to know why Bitl works, but Aymeri, the Midday Raisa, the Bitl of Al Masagi, not because he might kind the mitzvah of Tashbisu. That's not Tashbisu. Tashbisu, you have to burn it. Tashbisu is Hashpasasi Bechaldover. You can't be However, the reason is because bittel havi hefker. When you're mevatel your chametz, what you're essentially doing is you're being mafker it. La bottle v'lehevi hefker. What you're doing is you're saying it should be hefker. Once it's hefker, v'yatzam reshus, it's not yours anymore. Oh, if it's not yours, you have nothing to worry about. Because the Gemara says, it says in the Torah, lo yira l'chachamitz, and we learn from there, shel cha'i ataraya, aval ataraya shel acher. It's your chametz that you're not allowed to have in your reshus, but you're allowed to have somebody else's chametz in your reshus. So if that's the case, so once you mafker it, it's pashit, why there's no problems anymore. You know why? Because it's not yours. If you made it hefker, by definition, it's not going to be yours anymore. And if you made it hefker, it's not going to be yours. For that reason, it's not going to be problem. Notice we have a machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos. What exactly bittel chametz is? According to Rashi, bittel is the kiyum of the mitzvah of the Torah. Ach b'yei marishin tashbisu sarmi batechen. Hashpas is believed, like the uncle says, tashbisu tevatla. Tosfos says, no, it's nothing to do with tashbisu. Tashbisu means something else. Tashbisu means burning it. Tashbisu means getting it rid of it, throwing it into the sea. That's what tashbisu is. You can't be mekayim tashbisu b'lev. What then is bittel? Bittel happens belave. So what is bittel? Zaktoisus, you want to know what bittel is? Bittel is hefker. What does hefker mean? Oh, because once you mafker it, it's not yours. And if you mafker it, it's not yours. So at that point, says Toisus, it's for that reason you're not going to be oifer. The Ktsois HaChoshin, and one of the most famous Ktsoises, and this is in Simin Reish Ayin Gimel, says that he believes that the reason Rashi here in Pesachim Daf Dalet Amud Beis did not learn like Tosfos on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. He didn't learn that Tashbisu is mitam hefker, but rather he learned that the reason Tashbisu works is because that's what the Torah meant when it said Hashbaso. This Rashi didn't learn like Tosfos because Rashi held like a famous Rambam in Perek Beis Hilchos Nedarim Halacha Yudalet. The Rambam over there was talking about hefker, and the Rambam says literally Dvarim Stumen. Hahefker, says the Rambam, afal pi she'enoi neder. When somebody says hefker, right, I'm mafker my nechasim. When hefker, says the Rambam, even though it's not a neder, so when someone makes something hefker, it's not a neder, but hareu kamoi neder, it's almost, it's like a neder. She'osu loy lachzeboi, you can't be chayzer. There's an iser to be chayzer. So if a person makes a neder, says the Rambam, if you want to back out, you could, but You should just know, just like if a person makes a neder, so you can't just back out of your neder unless you go to Shimon Rabbeisa and Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Otherwise, you're stuck with your neder. So Hefker is the same way, says the Ram. Hefker, afa pisha eno neder, hareu kumay neder, sha'asa lachzabai. And the Ktsais in Simen Reish Ayin Gimel says that you see from this Rambam, in kamakoy moy laharach. But you see from this Rambam, says the Ktsais, that the Rambam had a completely different understanding of Hefker the way anyone else did. How does the Velt understand Hefker? The way Hefker works is you're mafker it, right? Hefker means it's not in my rishus anymore. I own something, I have an ability using the vehicle of hefker to make it not mine. I can relinquish my rights that I have in this item, even though I'm not giving it to anybody. Who does it belong to? It belongs to nobody. It belongs to the rishus of hefker. That's what the concept of hefker is. But when I'm mafker something, it's not mine anymore. The Rambam doesn't seem to say that. Because if the Rambam held that that's the way hefker works, then what do you mean you're chayzer from your hefker? If you want to be koinet, you can be koinet. You can't be chayzer. It's not you. You sell something, you can be chayzer. Hareu k'may neder v'osr lachzer boy. It's osr to be chayzer. It's not a question of being of iser and heter. It's a chayshem mishpat transaction. So says the Ktsais, you see the Rambam held that when a person makes something hefker, he doesn't lose his rights to it. He didn't relinquish anything. It still belongs to him 100%. Narvas, it's like a neder. That a neder, you can't be chayzer. Unless mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. So if someone's mafker something, it's going to be the same thing. You're not going to be able to say a mutalach. Says the Ktsais, what's the nafkamina? Says the nafkamina is, what would be if somebody was mafker something and then he died? The yarshin.
do they keep this item? Is it theirs? Or is it not theirs? If hefker means that it's not in the rishos of the mafker anymore, so when the person died, he didn't give over that item b'yerusha to his children. If, however, all it is a hilchus nedarim obligation, like the Rambam seems to suggest, incidentally, where does the Rambam bring the laws of hefker? He doesn't bring it anywhere in his chayshe mishpat halachas. It's in hilchus nedarim, because the Rambam held it's a neder. So says the Ktzais, it would come out, a child doesn't have an obligation to fulfill the neder of his father. If a man made a pledge to give X amount of dollars to a moisin, and then he died. The children don't have an obligation, necessarily. So, stuck is a little different, because there's an idea of amira legvaya, kemasir lehedyet, so don't quote me on this, but that's a little more complicated. The Ramah talks about this, a little trickier. But in concept, if somebody makes a neder, there's no halacha that the yorshim have an obligation to fulfill the neder of their late father. As a result, hefker is going to end up being the same way. Zok, diktzois, if that's the case, yesh loimer, that's pshan and Rashi. You want to know why Rashi, Imsach and Daftal and Amadeus didn't want to learn like Tosfos, that the way Tashbisu works is mitam hefker, because hefker wouldn't help you. Because when a person's mafker something, says the Ktzais, like the Rambam, it still belongs to you. It's still yours. Now, another person, if he wants to come take it, he has a schus to take it, but also lachsubai, I don't have a right to be chayzer, but at the end of the day, who's the owner of record? Who holds the title when a person's mafka something? It still belongs to the bailim. Not us. If you want to be zeichin it, you could. I can't be chayzer mitzad hilchus nadarim, but let's say the person drops dead, the yashin don't have to care about it. It's not their obligation. It still belongs to him. So if it belongs to you, how could you get away from Bal Yerub, Bal Yematzi by making something hefker? Tosfos obviously held hefker works in the conventional way. So you want to know how bittul works? Bittul works mitam hefker. What do you mean bittul mitam hefker? Once you mafker it, it's not yours. If it's not yours, there's no issa bal yerub bal yematz anymore. But why didn't Rashi want to learn like the Rambam? Says the Ktzais. I'll tell you why Rashi didn't want to learn like the Rambam. He didn't want to learn like the Rambam because he obviously held that. Why didn't he want to learn like Tosfos? Because he held like the Rambam in Hilchas Hefker. He held that when a person's mafker something, it doesn't leave his rishus. If it doesn't leave his rishus, it is your chametz. If it's your chametz, so obviously that's not a good way to circumvent the laws of Bayurah, Bayumatsi. So how does Bittul work? How does Bittul work? So Rashi, it must be, because the way Hashpasa works, Hashpasa is belave, and it works midin Tashbisu, but it's not going to work midin Hefker. The truth is, the Rambam himself, in Hilchas Chometz Umatzah, Perik Beis Halacha Beis, says the Rambam, Umahi Hashpasa Zuhu Amura Betayra. What exactly is Hashpasa? He she yevatel hachometz beliboy, v'yachshe voisei ka'offer, v'yosen beliboy she'em bershutsoi chometz klal, v'she kol chometz she bershutsoi reo ka'offer u'kudava she'em b'yitzor klal. The Rambam is defining Tashbisu. Umahi hashposo zuhu amura b'tayra. He's not describing the bittul that the Gemara talks about in Pesachim Dalad Amud Beis. He's discussing the word in the Torah. Ach b'yoyim arishin Tashbisu. What is hashposo? It's bittul b'lev. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam l'shitasei. The way the Ktzais explained Rashi, that Rashi couldn't learn like Tosfos because the Rashi held like the Rambam in Perek Beis and Hilchas Nedarim, the Rambam himself would have had no choice but to learn the same way. And it's beautiful. Matoiv manon. The Rambam in Perek Beis and Hilchas Chometz Umatzah learns like Rashi in Masechtas Pesachim Daf Dalet Amud Beis, which is consistent with the Rambam himself, l'shitasei, in Hilchas Nedarim, which is Parapes. Incidentally, as it relates to this Chiddush of the Rambam, this is not for now, but it's Yidua that the Chsam Sofer in a Tshuva in Yerudei Simen Shinteh Zayin says, U'biktsoy sachoshin reish simen reish ayin gimel kosa bazet dvarim she'enam ru'uyin l'goyin kemoysay. He said things that don't, it doesn't pass for a goyin like the Ktzais HaChoshin to have said what he said. What is he referring to? This chiddush that there could be a Shitas HaRambam and a Rashi and Psachim Daf Dalet Amud Beis that holds that when a person makes something hefker, he still owns it. And it didn't actually leave his rishus. There's a comment that was found in one of the Gilyonis of Rameir Simcha. So they found the Ksav Yad of Rameir Simcha, and the Rameir Simcha was talking about this Ktzais. And he said that he saw the Chsam Sofer's Kasha, and this is what his response was. V'anoichi, Kasha Baruch Hashem, harbi shosisi mimei haktzois. He says, Baruch Hashem, he's benefited a lot from the Ktzois over the years. So he says, Kanoi kinesi l'chvoidei. I decided that I'm going to defend the covet of the Ktzois. Beroisi ki agoyin Ramosha Sofer, chashav alav zara. Because I saw Ramosha Sofer, the Chsam Sofer, he said things about the Ktzois, v'ubahabiti divrei haktzois achoshin roisi ki itai hatzedek. And I realized the Ktzois is really right. And then the Rameir Simcha, that part is already
already, Ayin Shom goes on to explain what he thinks the Ktois meant and why the Ktois was right, and he disagrees with the comment of the Chassam Sofer. But the bottom line is we have a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos in Pesachim Daf Dalet Amud Beis, how exactly Bittul Chometz works. According to Rashi, Bittul Chometz works midin Tashbisu. According to Tosfos, Bittul Chometz works midin Hefka. The Ktois said that Rashi held like the Rambam in Hilchas Nedarim that Hefka works midin neder, it's not a real transaction. So if a person's mafkir something, he still owns it. Narvas, someone has a right to take it. I don't have a right to back out. But at the end of the day, it's still mine. If it's still mine, so obviously, bittul mitam hefker is not going to help me because the idea of bittul mitam hefker is, it's not mine anymore. Shalchoi atarayah. And I'm allowed to have someone else's chametz in my rishos. But if after I'm mafkir something, it still is mine, so it's still in my rishos, it's not going to help me. And we just showed how the Rambam Lishik Tosi holds us. But just to take this one step further, and that is, so if bittul's not mitam hefker, so when a person's mevatel is it's not hefker. So what exactly is it? What it is the nusach of kol chamir v'chamir. What it is the lashon of the Rambam. When a person is mashpis something, or a person is mevatel something, late Rashi, he's not being mafker. He's not saying, I don't want it to be mine. He's saying, I don't want it to have any chashivas, right? He's saying that I don't want it to be chashiv. And the truth is, if you take a look at Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, Rashi, Dibra Maskul Chavis Hadar, says Rashi very clearly that when it comes to Bedikas Chometz, it's Sagile Bebito Ba'alma, Imasiach Daite Mine, Umashvile Ka'ara. The Rambam's lashon that we just read, Umahi Hashbasa Zu Amur Betoira, She Yevatal Chometz Beliboy, Vyachshavoy Se Ka'offer, Vyasim Belibe Shem Beshusay Chometz, Vishakal Chometz Shabeshusay Reo Ka'offer, Ukadavish Shem Beitzoira Kla. And this is important because this is something that we do every year and it's kedai to try to understand it a little bit. If bittul is mitam hefker, it's very straightforward. It's hefker. Hefker is hefker is hefker. I'm just saying it shouldn't be mine anymore. If bittul's not mitam hefker, so we have to get creative. So what exactly is bittul? The Teretz is Rashi addressed it on Daf Talad Amidav. The Rambam addressed it in Hilchas Chametz Amatzah. What it is you're saying, I don't want it to have any value. This is chametz that's worth $100. Well, to me, it's offer. To me, it's garnished. Now, what do you mean to you it's garnish, right? This sounds like Erev and Ryan, right? Chaykik and Lahashman, it sounds like we're going backwards now. But there is such a concept that a person has the ability to say that even though I know this has value, but to me, this really doesn't have any value. But that's the bottom line. The bottom line is, the Makar of Bittul, according to Rashi, is Tashbis, according to Tosfos, is Shalchoy Atarayah, Aval Atarayah, Shalachayim. What exactly Bittul is also different. According to Tosfos, it's a Maisa of Hefker. According to Rashi, what it is I want it to be worthless. I want it to be Ka'afra Da'ara. Now let's go back a little bit. So we explained what bittul is. Again, by the way, this sounds a little bit like a pilpul. It's not a pilpul. This is just poshib pshat. This is literally elementary sheba elementary, pshat sheba pshat in terms of understanding what exactly is going. Believe me, this pilpul that goes on for days and weeks. But in terms of just understanding the basic havana of what exactly we're learning. So the mesachta began. So what exactly is bedikas chametz? So Rashi, in the beginning of the mesachta, Dibra Maskel Boitkin on the mission that Beis Hamidrash Aleph said, why do you do Bedikas Chametz? Shelo Yaver Ola Bebayiro Bayimatzeh. You want to know why you do Bedikas Chametz? You do Bedikas Chametz so you shouldn't be over Bebayiro Bayimatzeh. Very tight, Sakasha. You have to do Bedikas Chametz so you shouldn't be over Bebayiro Bayimatzeh? Didn't we just say you do Bittul Chametz? And if you do Bittul Chametz, so you're done. So you're not anyways going to be over Bebayiro Bayimatzeh. However bittul works, whether hashpasa belev, havi hashpasa because it's tashbisu, or whether it's hefka, at the end of the day you did bittul chametz. So when you did bittul chametz, why do I have to do bedikas chametz? Shelo yavir ol bebayiro bayimatzeh, you have to do bedikas chametz. Look, I have a whole different understanding of how bedikas chametz works. You know why you do bedikas chametz? Because we're afraid that a person on Pesach, if he doesn't do bedikas chametz, if he has chametz lying around his house, shemi yumtza gluska yafi, you're going to see a nice piece of cake and you're going to want to eat it. So the reason you do bedikas chametz is to prevent the person from eating chametz on Pesach. But the reason you do bedikas chametz is not because of Bayurah Bayumatzeh. Bayurah Bayumatzeh you already addressed. When did you address it? You addressed it when you did your bittul chametz. Fachura, what's Pshat Rashi? It's a very shver Rashi. So the Ran has a very, very long arichus to explain Rashi. But says the Ran, I'm going to tell you Pshat Rashi. Rashi knew bittul chametz works. He knew there's something called bittul chametz. I mean, obviously. And you have to do bittul chametz. And once you do bittul, theoretically, you shouldn't be over by your matzah anymore. However, the Ran says like this, being that bittul is totally in the machshava of a person, the ein dei yisei and shavos, different people think differently. And we're afraid that a person may not do a proper bittul.
The reason the Chachamim said Bidika is because they were not confident that all the Jews in the world are going to know how to do a proper Bittul. Why not? Because Bittul zeh toli b'machshav tishob ne'yodam. Ve'en d'yei sein shavis. It's not so easy to get, right? Bittul is a dover atoli b'machshava. So who said you're going to actually be mevat? If we knew for sure you would do bittul chametz, you wouldn't have to do bedika. You would say, kol chamir v'chamir, l'botav l'vehefke kafir da'ara, done. The problem is, we don't know 100% you're going to get it right. So what we do is something more practical, something that we can see. Do bedika, get rid of your chametz. So Zok Rashi, avada bittul chametz gets you out of the box in terms of bayura, bayumatzi. But at the same time, maybe you're not going to do a proper bittul. So because of the concern of bayura, bayumatzi, said the chachamim, you need a belt and suspenders. It's not enough to do bittul. Now you have to do bedika as well, because I'm afraid that maybe your bittul is not going to be a good bittul, and therefore Chazal said you should go ahead and you should do a bedika. Rav Kiva Eiger on the Mishnah, right in the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim, says, I have a kashya. The Ran said, to explain Rashi, that why do you have to do bedika? You're doing bittul anyways. Because we're afraid that maybe you're not going to get the bittul right. He says, I have a perfect eitzah. You know what the eitzah is? Every yid should have to say kol chamir v'chamir. You should have to say bittul out of your mouth, which, by the way, is what everybody does. Once you say bittul out of your mouth, even if you didn't have the proper machshava, who cares? Why? Because we know the halacha, dvarim shabalev einon dvarim. Right, if a person sells his house, he sits down, he's at a closing, he sells his house. Comes back a month later, he goes to the buyer, his attorney sends him a letter, we'd like to meet. Okay, they meet, what's the issue? He says, you know, I sold you my house, but the reason I sold my house is because I was planning on making Aliyah. Turns out, my plans fell through, it's not the right time for me now, I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael, I'd like my house back. So what's the halacha? It's a gemara, kedushin daf mem tes amid beis. Tell the person, I'm sorry, but it's not gonna, you can't. Why? What do you mean? I'm telling you, when I sold you the house, that's what I was thinking. It's very nice that's what you were thinking. But dvarim shebelev einan dvarim. There's something called a tonight. If you would sit down with the person and say, listen, I'll sell you my house, but on the condition that I move to Eretz Yisrael, yeah, then you don't move to Eretz Yisrael, the transaction falls through. But you have to say it. You can't think it. Because dvarim shebelev is einan dvarim. If your machshava contradicts what you said or what you did, we don't care about your machshava. Dvarim shebelev, it's a fake Reb Kiva Eiger. What was Duran's problem? I don't understand. You're worried, you can't tell a person to do bittul because maybe he's not going to do a proper bittul. I have the perfect eitzah. Say kol chamir v'chamir, which by the way we do. Who cares now what you're thinking? Well, when you say kol chamir and you're not thinking bittul, I don't know if it matters because you said kol chamir v'chamir. Dvarim shebelev einan dvarim. So what's the whole issue of it? Zok Reb Kiva Eiger, a tremendous yisoid. He says, dvarim shebelev einan dvarim. That's true. But that's only when the chalois doesn't tutzich up in your machshava. But when the cheftz of the chalois is your machshava, it's your dvarim shebelev. Of course, dvarim shebelev haven't dvarim. What is bittul? What is bittul? Bittul is, it should be hefke kafir da'ara. It's not saying it should be hefke kafir da'ara. It's thinking that it should be hefke kafir da'ara. The mitzius of bittul is something that happens in your machshava. If the mitzius is that it happens in your machshava, so what are you going to do? Say that it should be bottle, but if you're not thinking it, who cares? Dvar Mishavalev, no. Over here, we do care what your machshava is. Here, Dvar Mishavalev is dvarim. Why? Because the cheftz of what you're doing is a dover atali b'machshava. A tanai is something you have to say. A transaction is something that happens with a physical ma'isa. You were thinking? I don't care what you were thinking. But over here, where the whole chalois is a dover atali b'machshava, if your machshava is not right, and we have reason to believe it's not right, so you can't Dvar Mishavalev now tell me, oh, no, Dvar. No. Over here, the mitzvahs happens all your day at Dvar Mishavalev. So over here, it's not because it's Sedrup Kiveger. That's Pshad and Rashi and Duran. Really, bittul would have been enough. And if, once you do bittul, there'd be no problem of Mayura Bayamatze. But Chazal will worry that maybe you're not going to get it right. I mean that maybe you're not going to get it right. Chazal said you have no choice but to go ahead and to do a bedika. Why do you have to do a bedika? To make sure that it's not going to be a problem. Bayura. By the way, Rabbi Kiveger says, listen to the Lashon of the Ran again. Elo b'pnesha bittul zeh toli b'machshavton shol adam. Ve'en deyaseh en shoves. Toli b'machshavton. What did he want, says Rabbi Kiveger? Toli b'machshavton. This was his akdama. Because it's something that's toli b'machshavah. So therefore over here you don't have the halacha of Dvar Mishavalev. So now let's put it all together and we'll end. And that is, so Kumtais, we have a machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand bittul. Is bittul because the Torah says tashbisu and hashbas is belev, or is bittul mitam hefker? Rashi says it's hashbas is belev. Tosfos says it's mitam hefker. The Ktsoi says, Rashi and Pesachim Dalam Beis held like the Rambam and Perek Beis and Hilchis Nedarim, his understanding of how Hefka works. We have another machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says Bidika is Shem Yematzeh, is simply because of Bayura Bayamatzeh. Tosfos says I do Bayura Bayamatzeh. For that you ready the Bittel. What's the Teretz? Why did Rashi hold that it's because of, why did Rashi hold that it's a problem Bayura Bayamatzeh? The Ram. Because we're afraid that maybe the Bittel wasn't going to be a proper Bittel. L'chur, if you think about it, the two machlokes in between Rashi and Tosfos are 100% L'shitasayo. Why? Because what's the issue with the Bittel? You're afraid that it, maybe the Bittel's not going to play itself out properly. Frank Reb Kiveger, just go and say that you want the Bittel to be a Bittel. The Teretz is, because Bittel happens b'machshava. But that's all Rashi l'shitasoi. That Rashi holds that what is Bittel? Bittel is, it's ka'afra da'ara. That is what Bittel is. Oh, if Bittel is that it's ka'afra da'ara, that's something that happens b'machshava. If it happens b'machshava, then there's no Dvarim Shavalev Ein and Dvarim, which means if you don't get the Bittel right, you have a major problem. If that's the case, we have no choice but to impose upon you a Bidika. But Tosfos L'shitasoi holds that Bittel has nothing to do with Afrad Ha'ara. Bittel's good old fashioned Hefker, because when you're Mafka something, it's not yours. Hefker is not a Dover Atali B'machshava. To make something Hefker is like buying something, it's like selling something, it's like giving a gift, it's a transaction. It's not a Atali B'machshava. So what's the problem? Ein machshavton v'deyoy say and shavos. Just say that you want it to be bittel. Maybe you're not thinking bittel. The teretz is going to be dvarm shavalev ein and dvarm. Oh, toisel shitasoy. That hell that bittels me tam hefker. So you don't have the ran. You don't have Rabbi Akiva Eger. If that's the case, we have to come up for a new reason why there's no bedika. Because bittel really can solve all your problems. Just say the bittel, and at that point you're done. I don't care what you're thinking. Dvarm shavalev ein and dvarm. You made it hefker. If you made it hefker, you made it hefker. The teretz. That's why Tosfos had to come up with a new reason, and that is Shemi Yemitza Gluska Yafas. And the Machlokes Rashi Tosfos basics. Again, it's basic Sheva basics. Had to understand Bittel on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and the Machlokes Rashi Tosfos had to understand Bedikas Chametz on Daf Beis Amud Aleph would seem to be the Shita Sayyam.